by George. We are back.
Gosh, two in a row.
Two in a row. We're starting off our A-10 schedule 2-0. You know, looking back, both teams probably not that good. I cannot believe St. Joe's lost to GW. Hopefully they find their stroke here soon. But I don't care about any other team right now. Mason is 2-0, and if you haven't taken notice, it's about time you should. And let me tell you why. The whole season long, we've seen flashes. Yeah, we've all had some criticism of this player or that player or a move made by a coach or maybe a recruit we brought in. Sure. But no matter what, within a game, pretty much every game this season, you've seen a moment where you were like, that is the team that I know we can be. And I'm not saying we've reached that point right now. What I'm saying is that we are getting close. We're getting close. And you know, this is why. And it's become pretty obvious to me, but I think that Dave Paulson usually gets his rotation down by A-10 play. We played pretty well in the A-10 the last three seasons. Last year, you know, beat some teams like VCU and Dayton. Play VCU twice this year, play Dayton. So, you know, we'll see exactly who we are, but this is a good start to A-10 play, and there's nothing you can say to convince me otherwise. Kind of blowouts both games, and then I'm just so psyched. And so this is By George, the George Mason Basketball Podcast. In fact, I should say the original George Mason Basketball Podcast. Later in the episode, you will hear from Justin Kyer. I interviewed him after the St. Bonaventure game. It's always fun to catch up with him, especially when he's getting double-doubles. So you'll hear from him a little bit later. And we have a special guest that will conclude this episode, so you got to stay tuned. But right now, this is just Brian. I'm on the mic. If you hear my son screaming, it's because I have a six-month-old, and it's hard. So I'm trying, you know, I thought I was going to be able to record in a nap time, but it didn't quite work out like that. So if you hear him screaming, he's just saying, what's up, Mason basketball fan himself. So let's get right back into it. The reasons why I think you should be excited, the reasons why I think you should fill EBA is because it's an exciting brand. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes we're scoring from three. Sometimes we're getting easy buckets. My boy, buzzer beater Boyd is hitting buzzer beaters. Both the last games have been fun to watch. Okay, we've just played good basketball. We haven't had to mix it up too much. We've just run straight man. We'll man you up. We'll force bad shots, and then we'll run it. And we've been getting fast break points. We've been getting to the line. We've been scoring from the outside and the inside. And you know what? Versus St. Bonaventure, the vibe was just fun inside of Eagle Bank Arena. Yeah, it was superhero day, and you know, in theory, I love superheroes. Did the superheroes kind of look nubby to me? But you know, it was fun. As kids were there. The green machine was blowing. And it was just a good time. And we got to get the students back in there as soon as you get back. You started strong. You guys were coming to games. You were cheering hard. And we need to get that same energy. Why? Because if nothing else, Otis Livingston deserves it. He's given this team his all in now into his fourth year, playing too many minutes probably, and never complaining and always saying the right things. And so if nothing else, Mason Nation, you got to continue to come to games for Otis Slim Livingston. So clearly, you know, I'm excited. We're going to get more into, you know, the two wins and what we expect to see from Davidson coming up in our third segment. But I just wanted to talk a little bit more, you know, about St. Bonaventure. Why? Because a couple things that I saw. I saw a conviction to play defense. Okay, nothing. We didn't have to throw anything wacky. We weren't trapping everybody. And this is me talking. Usually I love that stuff, but I saw a grittiness from our defense where they were just willing to strap up man to man and never leave your side. And so two things I want to break down for you guys that I see defensively. Early on in the season, Reuter, for whatever reason, looked a little bit out of shape. When he would hedge, he was slow to get back to cover the center. Sometimes you are forced to switch that, so you have a guard guarding the center on a block, which is an easy high-low look, turn, try to score, probably have to foul. So when you can't hedge properly, you know, the defense kind of crumbles. Right now, we're seeing Jared Reuter play much bigger than he is. He looks long. I posted a picture of his defense on By George GMU that just kind of shows his ability to just kind of extend and stay extended. And he's returning from that hedge right now so appropriately. So not only is he kind of playing large, cutting off passing lanes, but then he can back up and guard the center and allow the guard to stay around the three-point line. So I'm seeing a much bigger improvement with that, not only with him, but Calix has done this pretty well going back to last year. And then you see the devotion of closing out. All right, we do not let any threes go uncontested, whereas for a long time, we've been a team that gives up a lot of threes and it looks kind of sloppy, and usually that has to do with your rotation being too slow, in my opinion, starting from a slow hedge up top. So that's just diving into some things that I've noticed. Defensively, at least, I'm the guy calling for pressure, pressure, pressure. We tried it. It didn't really work all the time. So, what do? You fall back to what you know works, and I bet you we see some switching to the zone here to close out the A-10 season as we get into the middle and the end of it, because that's what Paulson has shown he's done. So that's just me nerding out on what I've seen from our defense so far. But let's switch it up. Why? Because we have an interview with Justin Kyer after the game, after the win versus St. Bonaventure. Kid balled out, 15 and 14, just kind of playing out of his mind right now. So before we get to that interview, I just want to talk about Kyer's character a little bit. I've been talking to him since his freshman year, and every year he's been willing to do an interview with us, sit down with us. One time even sat down with us for 25 minutes, and I didn't record it properly, so I was never able to drop that content. It was awesome. And going forward, you should probably expect to hear a little bit more of Justin Kyer on our platform. We just have a lot of respect for him. He's a captain this season. He started pretty much almost every game of his time here, if not all. And he's just an all-around good guy, fun guy to chat with. So, again, this is Justin Kyer. And after Kyer, we have a special guest. And that special guest and I go kind of deeper into A-10 play and out-of-conference schedule for Mason. Stay tuned. This is Brian with By George. I'm here with Justin Kyer. We call him Kyer Fire because he has been on absolute fire recently. Talk to us about your game, kind of the difference playing in the A-10 as opposed to out of conference.
Oh, no, I'm just looking to be more consistent and, help the team win and just be the best all-around player I can be. If that's, knocking down shots, getting to the rim, playing defense, communicating, leading, rebounding. It's just all the aspects of the game I'm trying to do better.
And you've been hitting some threes. I don't know. Today you're a little bit off, but last game you're letting it fly. Are you starting to feel your stroke?
Definitely am, and it's mostly confidence. Tonight I didn't shoot very well, but they all felt good. So that's the best. That's what I'm trying to, improve on, is just not think about it and continue to shoot. I think if I think about it too much, then that's what makes me go into slumps and all that kind of stuff. So, I didn't shoot well today, but I'm still confident in my jump shot, and, it'll get better from here.
I think maybe early in the second half, they went to kind of a 2-3 trap zone. You guys made adjustments. It kind of slowed you down at first. What do you guys talk about in the huddle or just even on the court on how to beat that zone?
Yeah. No, their zone was actually pretty good. I think it was like a 1-3-1 or 1-2-2 or something like that. And they really covered the middle, so you couldn't get it to the inside man. So it made it a little hard for us, but we made adjustments and, just had to move the ball on the outside a little bit more and move their defense. And after that, we started knocking down shots and, contributing to that.
So with A-10 play coming up, are you guys watching other games while they're on TV when you guys are off? Are you starting to scout? Do you watch film on your opponents? How's all that work?
We always watch film or scout, the day or two before the games with coaches individually or with our guys. we see, like, you know, we all follow the A-10s and stuff like that. So we see who wins and not. But I don't think we're out there scouting or, you know, watching film or, you know, getting together and doing that. But, you know, we all like basketball. So we all just watch, you know, whatever games are on TV and whatever games we can get to.
And you came out here rocking Yeezys. Are those reals? Is that really how you're treating the backs of your shoes? Or are those fake?
No, I have two pair, and these ones are really worn out. I've worn them a lot. So
I've never seen Yeezys treated like that.
Oh yeah, people tell me that all the time, and I've kind of, you know, beaten them up a little bit. So you know, had a rush over here. I'll probably get a lot more when I walk into the locker room. But nah, definitely not fake.
All right, thanks, Justin. Keep balling. All right,
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yep.
And welcome back to By George. That was Justin Kyer. But earlier I sold you guys on a special guest coming on the show. Well, guess what? His name is Chris Jones.
Let's go! Let's go!
So Jonesy, we had an interview with Kyer. Why don't you just give me quick initial thoughts on his play these last few games?
I think he's pretty much been sort of the leader in terms of this sort of, I guess, this resurgence that we've seen recently in the team. I know that Otis has kind of put the team on his back a few times, but really Justin Kyer to kind of come out of nowhere, you know, and really just emerge as like this new, you know, presence on not only on the court but off the court. You're really seeing him start to mature as a man. So, yeah, I mean, he averaged a double-double thus far in A-10 play. I thought that he should have been considered A-10 player of the week. They gave it to, you know, two other schnubs. So, you know, I do think that he's really elevated his game, and he's really added a new deep threat that, you know, none of us were really expecting this year. So.
Yeah, and it seems to, you know, I think he gets some pretty open threes at times, and I think that that's because at this point you have to trust a lot of our other players. You know, Otis proved that he can step out and hit it. Javon will get to the bucket and or can hit the shot, and then our post play has been scoring. So someone's going to be open, and I think that, you know, Justin, I think the opinion of him from other teams, especially in our conference, is that he can't shoot, and I think that he's proving that wrong. And what happens is him hitting shots opens up the rest of the offense. So a lot of good things early on from Justin.
Just look back to last year, though, the tape that we had on Kyer. When he had the open look, he'd either hesitate and do like a little bit of a wonky shot, or he'd, you know, pass, you know, the ball, you know, even if he had a clear shot, he just didn't feel comfortable making the shot. But now he's without hesitation unloading, and, you know, just that rhythm he's developing, it's all good for that muscle memory and everything. So, you know, kudos to him for developing that shot and really, you know, becoming like a legitimate threat from, you know, the 3-point arc. So,
yeah. And I mean, he's been telling us that that's been a focal point of his offseason now for 2 years. And so if it comes together, we shouldn't be that surprised. That and ball handling, I think we've seen a bunch of improvements on, and then clearly just getting to the rebound, getting to the boards, grabbing rebounds. So, didn't want to throw you right into it, Jones, but we just finished the interview with him. So welcome back. It's good to chat. It's always good to chat after a couple wins.
Oh, for sure. And so it feels good to be back on the show. I feel like, you know, we've missed a ton of content that we could be talking about, but really the team's kind of coming together now, and I think we have plenty to talk about.
Right. It's like, do we want to talk about losses? You know, because it's really not
I can kind of touch on them. And if you just kind of look at our general record as of right now, 8-7 doesn't really sound that impressive. You know, you look at the three losses to really begin the year, you know, terrible way to start, you know, really deflated the team. But let's kind of look past that point. And you look at, you know, in terms of our losses, we've had four losses since that initial three-loss stretch. And those losses were to Cincinnati, Baylor, Vermont, and Kansas State by 1 point. Those aren't terrible losses. So, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, you know, we've really put together a decent run, even if you just kind of look past, you know, the games down in Florida, starting with Morgan State. You know, we've won, what, 2, 4, 6 of the last 8 I mean, that's a hell of a run. And that, you know, one of those losses was a 1-point loss on the road at Kansas State. So, you know, it feels as if something's kind of, you know, coming together with this team. And not only that, go on.
You can write off the Georgia Southern loss, but we still should have won it. I mean, when you're carrying that type of lead, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have come back on Kansas State. That would have been like your nice, like, you know, that would have been our opportunity to make up for that loss after a 20-point lead. But, you know, I think even considering those first three games and just how we should have obviously won all three of them, think about our record if we just win those three games. Keep everything else the same. Yep. You win those three games and we're having a whole different type of conversation. But the nice thing is that when you restart A-10, if you're out of that kind of out-large contention, it's all about winning A-10 games right now. It's kind of a fresh start for pretty much every team besides
loose.
VCU and Dayton. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty excited. Obviously, you watched both of the last games.
Yeah, so I think one takeaway from the last two games in particular, so let's start with St. Joe's. The expectation was, you know, and Petey kind of established this too, that St. Joe's is going to be a bottom of, you know, bottom tier one, top of tier two type team in the A-10. You know, they're currently 0-2 in the A-10 and dead last. So
losing to GW.
Right. Things will get better on their end, but it does sort of delegitimize our initial win. And then you look at St. Bonaventure, who's, you know, 4-10, 0-1 in the A-10. So cumulative, you know, what are they, 11-17 as their overall record, 0-3 in the A-10. So it's very early on in the A-10 to really know, you know, what these wins mean. But I do think that both teams will get better. But we happen to just blow them out. I mean, it was just an outright smashing both games. I mean, we won at St. Joe's by 25 points. We beat St. Bonaventure. Should have felt like more. It was still a 15-point win. So those are really encouraging. And you even look at, you know, you piggyback off the tail end of the Kansas State game where we made a huge comeback almost to beat them. You know, that's a nice three stretch of games. One thing I've noticed defensively, we're stepping up. I mean, we've only given up, you look at the last five games, 53 points, 63 points, 58 points, 60 points, 53 points. Defensively, something clicked. I can't really point to one thing, but we are just shutting people down. Either
I can
we're
tell
forcing
you what
bad shots.
I think we're closing out well, and then I also think we're giving more minutes to Calixt. And so now we have like two pretty big guys just willing to pound the block, and they just share the time. You know, they basically are getting a half and a half. So.
And you could also point to Green as being sort of this new lockdown defender,
yeah.
You know, locking down Charlie Brown and you know, whoever he was covering at St. Andre. So you
Cortland,
know, it's really
Cortland Stockyard.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Stockyard, something like that. But he's you know, he's legitimate, and for them to kind of struggle against us, you know, that's why the true test is like Davidson. We know what we're getting with Davidson. We're getting a good team. That, you know, thus far they won their initial A-10 game. You know, they're getting Grady back. So this will be really that gauge where we, you know, figure out were those two losses just kind of, you know, us beating bad teams, or can we run with the big boys? You know, and I think Davidson at home is the perfect opportunity to sort of test that theory. It's just, I don't know. I think that a lot of people should be caring about this game. It's very early, but it's kind of that test for the one seed right now in the A-10. I would really like to see like EBA completely packed. I know that, you know, that's wishful thinking, but I think the base needs to know the importance, even as early on as it is in A-10 play, that this could decide a ton of future implications down the line. So I don't know, what are your thoughts, you know, heading into Davidson? You know, they beat I think a Rhode Island team, you know, without their
I think with Davidson, I mean, it's again, so I know that there's not probably going to be a A-10 player making it to the NBA. But if there is, it's probably Grady. And Stockard is kind of, he's a senior forward from St. Bonaventure, and he has kind of that NBA build. So you could see those two guys. And people even talk about the dude from St. Joe's, but I don't buy that. You put Javon Green on those three guys, which no matter what, they're still talents in the A-10, if not top five in the A-10. So, you know, you have the confidence to put your sophomore guard on the line. And I actually asked Coach about this in the press conference, and Coach pretty much went on to say, you know, he's not that tall, but he's long, and that length is deceiving, and he can get up there and contest shots. He actually had a blocked three, I think, at the buzzer, I believe.
He's been active defensively. I think even in the last game, he had a few fouls, but he was still stripping the ball. Just really active with his hands. You're right. He does play a little bit longer than his height would suggest. So yeah, I think pair him with, you know, any of Davidson's threats. I mean, it's not even Grady. It's, what's his name? Axel Gunsmanson, all those guys, with difficult to pronounce names, they could all beat you, on any given night. So I'm hoping for potentially, you know, Grady may be a little rusty. I know that he's been out of the lineup lately. Hopefully that, you know, we get a little momentum going, early on, we get the fans into the game. You know, we could pull this upset. And I think I labeled the St. Joe's game as a statement win, but this would really be the statement win if we could really, pull this out. It would make me a believer. I mean, I'm starting to believe.
Saint Joe's was a statement because of how we won it. We in the past like few years,
and it was
we haven't
shocking.
Just gone out and blown out teams. We've squeezed out some wins. We've looked good doing so. I'm not trying to say that, you know, our wins didn't look good, but when you go out and just thrash a team in the second half like that, and it's just not even close, and it's happened now three times. I mean, yeah, it is kind of a statement, in the sense that it's, you know, we're not messing around. Like we didn't, and that's why I got concerned in the St. Bonaventure game, because we let up a 10-point lead. Kind of midway through the fourth, if not later in the fourth. And I was like, here we go again. And what do we do? We went on a 13.
Yep.
All right. Back. Yeah, it's anytime someone calls me. But here, I'm going to pick right up off that.
Sure.
We went on a 13-0 run. I mean, so, and that kind of, you know, then we clamped down, put our foot on their throat, and handled business. And so, and I think that starts with our big man play. And yeah, you can't point to either one of them as being spectacular, but if you put their numbers together, that's damn good for the center position, especially for our team. You're talking about 15 plus points, you know, 11 to 12 plus rebounds. That's exactly what you want from Mason right now from the block. And I think that just kind of opened things up. I think we had high expectations on Reuter, and he, you know, didn't necessarily deliver, but I think that right now we're fine. Paulson again, you know, for the fourth year in his career at Mason, has found a rotation going into A-10 play. And I think that is just kind of who he is. And although, you know, a lot of other teams use that out of conference schedule as kind of your preseason, if you're looking to get an at-large bid, you got to win all those games. So
The Paulson naysayers will obviously, though, point to the fact that you should have had this lineup ready to go game one.
Right.
You know, you should have known who your guys were. You know, we had the trip out to Europe or Spain. You know, maybe you have a better idea with everybody returning, you know, but whatever, better late than never. But here's my one, parting shot, though. I just don't want Mason to be the Kirk Cousins of A-10 play. And here's why I say that. Mason really hasn't beaten a good team this year. We beat the teams that we're supposed to beat, but when we are ultimately faced with, like, a legitimate team, we've folded. And this is going to be the Kirk Cousins game to really – you know, you win a big one. You know, we just don't have anything to really hold or hang our hat on right now, except like it's hard. You know, William and Mary, Morgan State, St. Joe, like none of these teams are truly elite. So, you know, with Davidson coming to town, I just think this will be the true test. If we could win this, we are going to get over some sort of hump. And not to look ahead, but I'm going to look ahead. You get Rhode Island coming after Davidson, which would be a legitimate test. But they're obviously not the same Rhode Island. But then you get like UMass, Fordham. You know, you could win a few of these games. And just because, you know, Dayton's a little better, but, you know, it's not as if they're unbeatable. And then you have the GWs and Richmond's and LaSalle's of the world. You know, let's, like, really take advantage of this down year for the A-10. You know, if we could really put things together now, you know, maybe we win 10 to 12 games in the A-10 and lock up that top four seed for the A-10 tournament. So that's just wishful thinking. But obviously first up is Davidson, and you know, I'm hoping that everything works out.
Yeah, I would say we've been on this roller coaster now, started super low, like our roller coaster crashed. And then, you know.
The roller coaster never even took off. It was pretty much, it didn't leave the gate. And now they're just getting it kind of geared up, and we're kind of going up the track here. You know,
and we're looking good doing so. So before you go, Jonesy, tell me one thing. Who, as like, this is pure fanhood. Who do you get psyched for when you see them on the court? Maybe they're checking in. Are they a bench guy? Are they a starter that you never want to see out of the lineup? Has that kind of, you know, emotional attachment grown for one of these players yet? Obviously, Grayer was kind of your guy. He's struggle city.
Yeah.
So who's replacing that void?
The person that's starting to get me a little psyched, where I'm going to start, you know, really harping on them and praising them outward to, you know, casual fans and everyone, Green. Like, Green is the guy. Like, if there's anybody to watch, watch Green. Like, he gets me psyched. You know, he can either do it defensively, he can hit the deep ball, he can get to the bucket. He's kind of doing it all, and he's still young. He's a sophomore playing, you know, in the first half of his second season. So, you know, there's a lot of raw talent there. There's a lot to like. There was a lot of hype coming out of high school with him. So, yeah, he's kind of getting my gears going. Another one, not as, you know, he's been here for a while, but someone that when I see him in the game, he's just making an impact. It's Ian Boyd. I mean, when he checks in, he's just like instant everything. Like, he's just hitting threes or getting to the line or doing something right. And it's really hard when he gets out of the game and you know, you put in someone else. So I'm kind of obsessed with those two right now. But I mean, I really do love the whole team. So,
yeah, I think I make it pretty clearly known that Calixt is my favorite player. And I do really, you know, I do really think that, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but that he would win in an all-out fight with all A-10 players. Like, I would at least put money on him. Like, he'd at least be my guy.
So you're
like
talking UFC brawling.
It could be like WWE, you know, Royal Rumble style. Like, you got to throw him out of the ring. You know, you don't need to kill somebody. But I just think anything, you know, any fights. Simulation, he is winning, because I'm looking at that guy and every time I see him on the court, he almost looks like the biggest guy out there. Yeah, like there's a couple older dudes from other teams, a little bit more size, but give Cali two more years in the weight room and we may have like a grown man as the center. So
could I point to one other fighter that I'd like to nominate? Marcus Santos Silva from VCU.
Right,
that guy's, I mean, he even sounds like a UFC fighter. So
yeah, he looks like he should be a defensive end in the NFL. I'm not sure he picked the right.
He could. But Mo Alie-Cox, to be doing what he's doing, you know, he's going to be playing in Kansas City this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, with an opportunity to make, like, isn't that insane? Like, how insane is that? That he's and he's playing meaningful minutes. He's in so many of their packages for blocking and everything. Wow. I mean, just kudos to the A-10 for producing that. You know, it's fun to watch. I mean, granted, he's a VCU rival, but it's pretty neat to see.
He's a Northern Virginia boy.
Yeah.
went to South County, but so I would say, you know, one funny thing is, you say meaningful minutes, and I just think of Danny Dixon every time. We should almost just call meaningful minutes like Danny Dixon's. Like, damn, Molly Cox is really Danny Dixon right now. But
but that would be almost a slight to Mo Alley.
I wonder how Danny's doing.
Yeah, he's somewhere. But
is he getting buckets? We got to look into that and post about it. But all right, Jones, we've ran over our time. My son is screaming his head off, and so I got to get going here. It was good catching up.
And I will be tuning in to the game. I hope everyone else will be there at the game, cheering on Mason, filling EBA, really giving Davidson, you know, fits with the sound and everything. I just really want a true atmosphere there. I know it's a Wednesday. I know it's difficult to make it to these games, but if we could really make EBA, you know, just that type of environment, let's do it. Let's go. I'm psyched.
Hashtag fill EBA.
Fill it.
This has been By George, guys. We'll see you at the game.
I got something new. You and me are through. No more nights with you.